Welcome. This is the Live Loud podcast, the podcast in which we explore everything that has to do with the Live Loud lifestyle, which means going hard and getting the max out of life. My name is Johnny and I host this show together with Peter, MC Deviate. And well, just like last time when we had Frequencers and Rejecta here, Peter is not here. And there is a very, very sad reason for that. Peter, how are you doing?
No worries. But since somebody in my inner circle was tested positive, I took some precautions and that's why I'm not there. So better safe than sorry.
So because you care a lot about the health of me and Mad Dog, you try to stay home.
Thank you, man.
Health, so that's why.
Yeah. Great, awesome. And I already introduced our the artist we have today, and I'm very, very honored to have this icon of the hardcore scene in the Live Loud podcast. Mad Dog, welcome.
Hello. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, as right. Always.
Hey, you have been a Decibel regular for a long time.
Yeah.
But before we go into your experience at Decibel, let's first start with the beginnings. How did you ever end up in the hardcore scene? Where did you start?
Well, I started it was 93. I had 13 years old and I'm from Rome.
Yeah.
Okay. And in Rome, we had this beautiful radio station called Virus.
Uh-huh.
And on this program Virus, they were used to play hardcore music, techno music, trance music, progressive, everything, you know. And well, I got in touch with hardcore from that radio show, and after that I went to the vinyl shop, mm-hmm. which is a pretty historical vinyl shop in Rome, which is called Remix.
Yes.
And after that, you know,
you caught the virus.
Yeah, definitely.
The hardcore virus.
Well, so wrong probably. Name in the wrong period, but. Yeah.
So when you were listening, I remember listening to the radio in the 90s, and I always had a cassette player.
Yeah.
Going on. Did you also try to record the songs on a cassette player?
Yeah, definitely, and cut everything, of course. Yeah. And eventually, after. It was 93, around 98, 99, I had my own radio show in the same station, you know.
Nice.
It was pretty, pretty good, pretty nice. Nice time.
Yeah. And I read that you were both a promoter.
Yeah.
Of the hardcore in Italy.
Yeah.
And a producer. Did those two mix?
No, definitely not.
Not at all.
That's why I quit with a promoter things. Because also, I mean, before 2000, so at the end of the 90s, Rome was pretty big as a electronic scene. We had a lot of progressive, trance, techno, and hardcore events. And we were used to do this big party called Pronto Soccorso Rave, mm-hmm. which means first aid rave. And we were used to have 4,000 people every time. But at one point, we tried to make something even bigger. But we had some problem and we lose all our money. So I had to go back and instead of, you know, start it again, the promoter thing, I said, okay, let's quit everything and let's start a producer DJ career better.
Yeah.
You know, and focus more on
I can music. Tell I it was a good choice.
Yeah, because like to be a promoter is like a gamble, you know, and it's real difficult, especially out of Holland. I mean, here is like a culture, you know, be on a party, festivals. It's really part of this culture since years, since
yes.
the beginning of the 90s. But in Italy, and let's say in the rest of the Europe, it's like a wave. Sometimes you have a lot of people that are coming to your parties, and in some period, no one wants to go to work or parties anymore. So it's not steady like here.
Right. Yeah. So you cannot budget on it, and you cannot count on it.
Yeah. Definitely.
All right. So then you started to make hardcore, and I read somewhere that you said you found your voice in 2006 as a producer, as a hardcore producer.
That's true. That's true. Before 2006, in my opinion, you know, some of the guys say that some people said that my music was better before mm-hmm. that period.
Always, yes.
In my opinion, for my own taste, and it's my own music, so I prefer the 2006 until now period, you know, because back then I was just trying to mimic the big hits of that period, like the Neo Fighters stuff. Mm-hmm. And at one point around 2006, I even decided to quit with hardcore and with music in general, you know. And it was around 2004. And I said, okay, I want to quit everything. But, you know, passion was really big on me and I couldn't quit that easy. And so, I started again, but with a fresh mind, you know, mm-hmm. without thinking to mimic some other tracks.
Right.
And I just did what was good for me and what I was liking in that period, and nothing. And tracks after tracks, I'm here.
So and that's really interesting, because how would you describe your style in 2006?
Well, I had it was more kind of, how can I say, without rules, let's say, okay? Right. Without following certain standards, like you need this kind of melodies, you need this kind of kick drums, or you have to do this kind of breakdown. And I was just like doing music or just trying to express the vision of my hardcore vision in music, you know? And so I did. But I have to say also that to really express what you have inside, you need a lot of skills, and to
true.
For that you need time, you know.
So you had a period where you kind of developed your skills by copying other people, and then you found your own voice.
Yeah.
What I always found amazing about artists is that it sounds like a choice between I have to be commercially following the expectations to make money, or I have to make my own music. But if you're a good artist, in your case, you usually find your own voice and it becomes commercially viable.
It is, but at one point you have to get rid of that thing that you have to mimic others.
Yes.
Because if you want to be different from other artists, at one point you really have to make your own sounds and your own tracks, your own vision. I mean, otherwise you will never stand up, you know, because there are many good artists and good producers, and if you want to stand up, you have to do something different. If you want to do something different, you should, in my opinion, again, you should create your own rules and your own sounds.
Yeah,
and that's it.
And that's always amazing when you get that to happen. I really love and admire that in artists that are able to take the risk, but also from their own passion for the music, their own vision.
It's a challenge sometimes, you know.
True.
It costs, in my opinion, sometimes costs also money, because instead of doing what is more sellable in a certain period, mm-hmm. you try something else. But trying something else means also spend a lot of time, and that time, instead of being invested in a more commercial track, you're trying to, you know, experiment something else. It's what I'm doing right now, for instance. Like,
but it's what the scene needs to grow and to be relevant and interesting.
My opinion, yes. I mean, this is what other artists did in the past. If mm-hmm. you look at, I don't know, PCP and Roughneck and Promo and Neophyte and all the big artists, they all did something different at one point. They all invest their own time to, you know, do something different.
Yeah, and there is even a bigger picture there, because this also happens in hip hop, in rock, in country, everything. If you want to stay relevant as an art form, you need to go to the next level.
Yeah, it's sometimes also a risk, because in the beginning some people doesn't really understand what you're doing.
True,
and
yeah.
You get some, you know, negative feedbacks, but and, you know, it's part of the journey.
Part of the journey, and also it's part of the Live Loud lifestyle. Peter, when did Mad Dog became visible on your radar?
I've known him for many years, but I wanted to talk about how sometimes you innovate, and you have to innovate as an artist, and you have to stand out and create your own identity, that will always be a thing that will eventually lead to success. If I look at, for example, MCs that do their own thing that makes them that certain MC, they will always stand out. MCs that copy other MCs, not so much.
Yeah, you don't last for that long. I mean,
You won't last for that long. And things can evolve music-wise as well. Because if I look at the Decibel Anthem, I did with Zani and Max Enforcer in 2011, when we played it for the first time live, somebody recorded it, put it on YouTube, and everybody was hating on it. Yeah. Hating on it. And if you play that track now, on a full main stage of Decibel, it's a big hit. So
it is. I mean,
that's sometimes, I agree, sometimes you have to take risks to book success. Yes.
Yeah, it's not easy also to let all the crowd to understand what you want to do, you know. I mean, there are so many people, especially right now, you know, so different mindsets, and it's fine. I mean, it's a risk that, as Peter said, that you have to take if you wanna succeed in something, you know, especially in music.
Yeah. So we kind of touched on the subject of Decibel. You were there for the first time in 2008.
Yeah, I think 2008. I'm not really good. I really have a short memory, like a redfish memory. I'm really bad with that. But I think it was a lot of years ago.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
I think we have some footage from 2010. We're gonna watch right now.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that shirt.
It's bold. The shirt says minimalist.
Minimal my ass.
Minimal my ass. Yeah.
That was like a boom in that period in Italy about minimal, and they were all listening minimal, and it was really too minimal for me. You know? Damn, I was young at that time.
We all were. Yeah. Did you share a stage with MC Deviate?
Yeah, a lot of times at Decibel. We did the main stage. I don't remember exactly which year. I think 2014, maybe 15. We closed the main stage.
Yeah, a little while back. Yeah.
Yeah, a little while back. But we also did a lot of small parties back then. Time Out for sure, and maybe the first time that I saw you it was Time Out, maybe, and others. You know.
What What kind of a DJ is Mad Dog, Peter?
The one who barks a lot.
And he's I like his style because the thing is, I do it as well. I listen to like a lot of other genres, like rock, and within rock, very, very various things. And he does the same thing. And I recognize it in the records he makes and in the music he plays. So that's why I think he's special, because he's a bit like me.
Thanks. No, that's true. Especially like like around 2006, 2007, I had my, you know, rock metal period where I was trying to, you know, get my rock influences into my music. So that's why, for instance, like I did some Metallica covers and some Rage Against the Machine stuff.
I heard the Slipknot Wait and Bleed.
The Slipknot, that was from 2017. But I every year I try to, you know, do some official covers.
And what's the challenge in what parts of the rock music do you try to incorporate into the hardcore? Is it the energy?
There are so many. Yeah, the energy, of course. That's also something that I try always to do in my music, to translate in my music, and you know, the harmonies, and especially to find a great voice. And we have one of the best voice in the scene, because Peter has really a beautiful voice. He really can do everything he wants, and
right.
Oh, thanks.
No, it's true. Absolutely true.
So do you what's one of the more memorable moments you had on Decibel?
For sure the closing, the main stage, because I was waiting for that main stage for so long, you know. It was like just very real goal of my career, and it's so huge, man. Wow, yeah. It's beautiful, you know, and it's fantastic.
I mean, this is what I wonder, and maybe Peter, you know about this as well, this feeling. Can you comprehend when you stand on the podium what you're looking at when you're on the main stage? The audience, the energy, the vibe, does it compute in your head what's happening at that moment?
It depends. I mean, there are parties where you have all the lights in front of you and you can't see a shit for real.
True, yeah.
And but the Decibel, I remember the end of the stage and of the crowd, you know. So I mean, I didn't have all those lights on my face, so it was pretty good.
Right.
Very good. Yeah.
It must be an amazing experience to.
Yeah,
it is because it's not only the people you see, the sight of the people, or mm-hmm. the like a big crowd in front of you, but it's also the you can literally feel the love for the music in the air. It's just happy faces everywhere. It's everybody partying to the max. It's just. It's an indescribable feeling, really.
It's true.
And that sounds very cliche, but,
no, but it's
it
true.
Is the truth.
And also I want to add that it's really special to close this kind of parties, this big stage, because it's like an achievement of your career, you know. And when you play, I mean, you like, you go a step back on the year and you think, okay, I'm here playing in front of all these people, because it was a good year. I mean, I did something mm-hmm. good in the year, you know, so it's
an achievement.
Like, it's an achievement, really. Yeah. And you can feel it during the set.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
I can feel it during the set. I don't know the others, but that's
yeah. And it's again, it's the dedication and the passion and the love that you share with the people standing in front
of
you.
Which is the main thing.
Of course, that's also a thing that we missed the last year.
We
couldn't perform. How did you experience this COVID years?
Yeah, a lot of things changed in my life in these years, and not just because of the gigs, you know. But I have to say that I need it because I started when I was 16.
Right.
So I had like almost 24 years of gigs.
Non-stop. Awesome. And you're going all around the world, yeah. Asia, America.
Yeah, especially in Europe, but of course also around the world. But it was really a lot, you know. And so I took this year and a half to try something different in studio. And I'm now trying to make something slower and, you know.
And that's the new challenge.
Yeah.
For what I understand, and Peter is more... has more knowledge about this than I do, but there is a trend to going faster and harder.
That's why the new EP is called Down Tempo.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, and we've talked about this in the beginning, it's now a challenge to see if you can create your own space again within those trends.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I'm trying to do. It would be like a 4 or 5 track EP. It's called Down Tempo. And it goes from 144 until 162 BPM. So it's not that fast compared to the nowadays hardcore, which... I like it. I mean, I have nothing against the high speed hardcore, actually, but
of course not.
It's in our it's one of our characteristics as a genre to also develop that kind of BPM range. I mean, it's something that we grew up also with that range. Hardcore came from that range, from that BPM range. So we shouldn't forget about it. You know, so we have to. Release music around that BPM, in my opinion.
Right. So, is hardcore the BPM rate, or is it something else? What
it's
makes
definitely something else.
Right.
No, it's not a BPM. Sometimes there are so many slow tracks that are harder than tracks at and 300 BPM.
Right.
For sure, especially the new hardcore, which is just noise. Empty noise.
True. So the lockdown you used, it's also kind of the live loud mentality and lifestyle to reinvent something of yourself, to find time for yourself and develop in a certain way.
Yeah, you said it before, it's about passion. I mean, I've been driven by this passion since when I was 13, you know, and I'm still going here. I'm still here for that passion. I'm still trying to, you know, make the different kind of music and hardcore for that.
Great. And now we're already, I hope we're at the end of the COVID period, and also, which means we can share more studio time with Peter and he can be here in the present, which is always much better than at home. But we're also still going on when it comes to Decibel 21. It's still in the running. So, and you are going to do, I think, two performances?
Yeah, I have one performance on Saturday at the Harker stage. And again, so the main stage on Sunday with the player, which is a fantastic artist, which was the artist who did the verses at the first Decibel.
All right.
Because in 2008, when you mentioned it, my first time at Decibel, it was Mad Dog and the player. So it's nice to, you know, play with him again on the main stage.
Right. So Peter, what Mad Dog and the player, what makes them good together?
Difficult question.
How do you say it? You're guaranteed to have a smashing closing set. That's what makes them special together, because they're both so experienced in what they do. And I can't wait for them to take the stage, because it will not be a disappointment.
You're looking forward to it.
By the way, can you guys hear the dogs barking in the background?
I don't, but maybe the listener can, and then it will be a nice add-on to the ambience.
Yeah, it's a nice addition, because I moved to the quietest room in the house, and then out of nowhere, all the dogs in the neighborhood begin to bark.
Maybe, yeah, you know, we're here with Mad Dog, and who has his own label, Dogfight, yeah. So I think it's only appropriate. It must have been. Are you going to try out or are going to show new concepts at the Decibel 21, either one of the stages?
Yeah, I will definitely, if it's finished, I will definitely play my new EP and the slow one, and I'm curious to see the reaction, you know, to start at 140 BPM. would be like maybe the first 15 minutes. I don't know. Well, we'll see. I mean, I usually I don't make plan. You know, I don't like to do plan for my music, for my career. Actually, I just take everything day by day, because if I make plan, means also plans for me means also deadlines, and deadlines, in my opinion, it's like the death of creativity, you know. So
right,
I always used to work like this since the beginning, so I try to, you know.
Yeah, and it also creates some kind, sometimes it can create a tunnel vision, which means true. You're so focused on your plans you forget about there's maybe another route to get to the same point.
Yeah, you know, but I like that tunnel vision. I'm in that tunnel vision since years.
Sometimes in the hardcore tunnel vision.
Yeah, sometimes I work on tracks for months when I have to do anthems. It's a long, long tunnel.
Right. There is a question. I think Peter already answered this question, but I'm still going to ask you again. Why should people attend your performances at the Decibel 21? Why should they come to your stage?
On Sunday, on both. Well, on Sunday, because it's the closing out of main stage with Jimmy, so you really have to be there. It's gonna be a crazy set for sure, and we are going to celebrate the end of this shitty COVID. So that's the main reason,
right? Okay?
That reason is good for Saturday and Sunday. So you just come here, come to the Decibel, to my stage or anywhere you want, and celebrate life again.
Right, great, and live loud and stay loud. So we can expect a EP down tempo the next coming?
Well, actually, I have a new one. It's more mainstream melodic, and I'm going to start my set now with a new track, which will be released tomorrow. And I'm working on the downtempo EP, which will be released, I don't know, when it's finished. but for sure, I usually release like 7-8 tracks a year, and as always, so it's gonna be a little bit of everything. I like to, you know, release any kind of arc, or from slow arc or to fast arc, or so I don't mind.
It's gonna be
I mean, it's gonna be
development again.
Yeah, I mean, if I like it, that's the most important part.
Right. And Peter, do you have anything to add to this great conversation?
That I cannot wait to get on with life and festival life in special, because it's taken too long, man. It's taken way too long. I haven't seen certain colleagues of mine since I don't know what, and maybe 15 months. It's too long, man. It's too long. We need to have beers. We need to have beers and have fun again.
Yeah, a lot of beers.
Backstage and on stage, forever, as long as there's beers and people, and we can share the passion that Madoc talked about together again, and share the passion for the music, share the passion for being together, and for creativity.
Yeah,
in the hardcore scene. So that's amazing. I want to thank you very much for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
And if you are on Spotify at this moment, then I suggest going to our YouTube channel and SoundCloud from B2S, because there's going to be a gift from Madoc. He's going to play a short set with the an iconic set. I can already tell it's going to be an iconic set.
I have some new tracks also.
So here you go. There's some new tracks to enjoy for you. I want to thank you for listening to this. I want to thank Peter for, even though he's in quarantine, he still wanted to join the show, which is awesome, Peter.
There's a little delay. Too much.
Maybe he was eaten by the dogs in the meantime. I want to thank Peter, and hopefully the next.
Thank you guys too. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. And next time you better be here, because then we could it will be way more awesome. All right, I want to thank you for listening, and enjoy the set. If you want to enjoy the set, go to YouTube, SoundCloud, and I hope to hear you again the next time. Thank you.
Let me give you some.